Today on Movie While Others, we review Mockingjay Part 1. It's time for Movie While Others. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yasti as well.
Movie While Others is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings all.
Good evening.
Hello.
Sorry, this is a take two for anyone listening. We had a complete technical glitch, aka Joe's an idiot, so didn't get to start the podcast properly. But we have a special guest with us today, Seely.
Hi.
Seely has joined us because we have a better, I think she's more representative of the target audience for the film of the week this week, which is Mockingjay.
And not just that, she is a Mockingjay fan.
And yes, Seely is indeed.
A Hunger Games fan, I should say.
Yeah, and a Die Hard fan.
Which could make your review biased, but that's fine.
So how many times did you see The Hunger Games in theatres?
In theatres, I saw it 13 times.
And Catching Fire?
Catching Fire, I saw it 6 times in theatres.
Wow.
That's pretty hardcore.
And Seely saw the screening with us yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And she already has her tickets for the midnight showing tomorrow. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah.
This will be the question. Will she want to be going again?
Yes. The question is, should she go again?
So I have to ask, Seely, why did you stop at 13? Is that when you thought you'd had enough? Or if you had a chance, would you have watched it the 14th time?
Well, there's 13 districts in Hannum, so I was like, and also I do have a budget of a teenager, so I had to be quite stingy with my money.
Did you pay for all 13? That's the question.
I paid for most of the 13, yes, I did.
That's actually very cool. I love that it's 13 for the 13
districts. That's what I was thinking.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So which district would you live in if you lived in Hannum?
Well, I love to think that I'm a Katniss fan, and I'd love to think that I'm District 12 all the way, but in reality, I don't think I'd be able to work in the coal mines. So I've no idea. Probably luxury, one of the luxury.
Yeah, I'm capital all the way.
I'm capital all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to eat until I barf.
Exactly.
I mean, that's kind of my style, I think.
And you like the eyeshadow, don't you, Joe?
You know what? I do like the outfits. I think.
Oh my god!
I know. I think it'd be kind of cool.
That's why I do your shopping.
Well, yeah, this is true.
Yasti, where would you live? I bet he's going to say 10.
I don't know, 7 maybe.
I knew it'd be more than 5.
It'll be 7.5.
It'll be 7.5.
Maybe. Yeah, I would be in District 7.5. But I would love to. Vacation at the capital, you know, for a couple of weeks.
You can come to our house in the capital. Maybe stop at Seely's in 1 or 2 on the way.
Well, welcome to the podcast, Seely. It's great to have you here. So, should we just jump into our review?
Yeah, well, we're going to ask Seely just to calibrate Seely, everyone's taste. So we know you're a Hunger Games fan, but if you had to go on a desert island, we always ask our guests this. And we'll just say, what 2 or 3 movies would you take with you? We never ask what are your favorites because it's so hard if you are a movie fan. So what are the 2 or 3 that you like to watch again and again besides The Hunger Games?
Okay, so besides The Hunger Games, I'd say my top 2 movies are Donnie Darko and Ever After. I don't know.
Wow. Very nice.
It's one of my favorites. I can watch it countless times. And still have that warm feeling in my stomach in the end. So
that's the thing about movies you could take on a desert island. I mean, they really are the ones that you can just watch again and again. And even though you know what's coming, they still have the same reaction on you. You still have that same reaction.
Yeah, okay. Donnie Darko gives you a lot of street credit. That's pretty good.
You know, I don't think I've seen that one.
I haven't seen it either.
I've not seen that one. That's Johnny Depp, isn't it, from back in the day?
No,
Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's what I meant.
Gyllenhaal, yeah.
All right, so I am dying to hear what you all thought of this, especially Seely. Although I can probably predict the reaction. I tried really hard not to look at you to see if you were smiling, so... And same with you, Joe, because I was between the two of you. So I'll do a quick intro. I'm sure most people know what The Hunger Games is all about, but the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 starts when Katniss destroys the games. She goes to District 13 after District 12 is destroyed. She meets President Coyne, who convinces her to be the symbol of the rebellion whilst trying to save Peter from the Capitol. So this is directed by Francis Lawrence, and it's written by Peter Craig and Danny Strong, along with Suzanne Collins, who also helped with the adaptation. And this has a whole host of cast, including Jennifer Lawrence, Josh Hutcherson, Liam Hemsworth, Woody Harrelson, Donald Sutherland, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Julianne Moore, Willow Shields, Elizabeth Banks. This has Jenna Malone, Jeffrey Wright, Stanley Tucci, Natalie Dormer, amongst many, many, many others. I mean, this is a
huge cast.
So with that, I'm going to ask Seeley to go first.
Oh, okay.
So Seeley, give us a quick review of what you thought, and then we'll jump into the main podcast.
Okay. So as predicted, I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I choked up at some parts and I was smiling at others, and I felt it was a very well done adaptation of the book, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. So yeah.
Yazdi.
Yeah, I mean, I watched this with some degree of trepidation because I think it's the weakest of the three books personally, having read it, and they're breaking it up into two parts, and I was wondering if it would seem like there was too much filler, but I was very pleasantly surprised. I think this is a very adroit adaptation. It's very, very professionally done. It has a really good pace to it, and the whole movie just seems very tight. Even though, it's one book divided into two. So really exceeded my expectations.
Joe?
Like you, Yazdi, I think I was a little apprehensive going into this one because, again, I think this was kind of the most tedious of the three books to get through. I devoured Hunger Games and Catching Fire instantly. Those were real page turners for me. Mockingjay was a little bit of a chore. So I'm not going to be quite as positive as you guys were on this. I think for me, I wished kind of more happened. I feel like the movie was very much a setup for the big finale. It wasn't as effective a part one. Well, I guess it was kind of similar to that last Harry Potter movie where they kind of had this big, long setup and you get through lots of the plot elements for what is going to be a very exciting visual finale. But yeah, it was a satisfying entry in the Hunger Games series. I just still question that decision to split this into two.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Joe. I think if you're a fan of the series, no doubt, I think you're going to love this movie. In my mind, like you, Yazdi and Joe, I think Mockingjay is the weakest book of the three. So I think that makes this the weakest film overall so far, which doesn't mean it's bad by any means. I think it's a really well, competently made movie. Catching Fire just blew me away. So I think this one had a lot to live up to. And I agree with Joe. I think when I look at the film overall, it didn't feel like much happened. And I wish it had been one film.
I think the issue at hand is the basic structure of the trilogy, which is that the first two books are about the games. That's what drives them. And, there is things prefacing the games and what happens afterwards. But I think the third book has a very different structure. It's not about a game anymore. And I think that's what maybe takes a little bit getting used to. And it may not seem as focused. But I honestly, I've been reading a few early reviews of the movie, and people have mentioned that it seems to them like the movie stretched out, and that there is too much exposition and too much filler, but I never got that sense. I had a sense of the movie that the movie had a really good backbone, and it was kind of moving along very nicely. I didn't feel like it dragged, or I was pretty enthralled through most of it.
How about you, Seeley?
I've noticed there was a nice transition for the characters, especially for Katniss and Coyne. They started at one point at the beginning of the movie and ended at another point at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. You could see that develop throughout the movie. You could see the ride that they were taking in the movie, especially Coyne. And so I thought they did a good job with that. And I thought that was very well laid out. And I thought they did a good job with the characters and developing the characters. And I thought they did a good job focusing on Katniss, because that was a problem that I had with the book when I was reading the third book, was it wasn't so much about Katniss anymore. I think this was something that you said yesterday, was it wasn't so much about Katniss anymore. It was more about what was going on with the rebellion. And I think they did a good job on Katniss. Mm-hmm. So I think they did a good job with that.
Yeah, I agree with Yazdi. I mean, overall, I think when you're sitting in the theater, same as you're saying, Celie, you know, it's not an unpleasurable experience. I think as I was watching the movie, though, the one thing that failed a lot for me with this movie was, I think if you haven't read the first two books or seen the first two movies, this movie is not a standalone movie. It's very much a middle of the, you know, the last act in a way. So I think, well, you know, shame on you. You've probably been living under a stone if you haven't read read the books or seen the movie. But I think in terms of a whole movie, it doesn't feel like a whole movie. It definitely feels like a part.
Yeah, well, I mean, like any sequel, it starts off where the other one left off. And, you know, this movie is no exception. Very much like the books, it dives straight in there. And I actually like that about sequels, when you don't have to have all of this preamble setting up the characters. You know, you kind of just get straight into the plot. I think the challenge for me here is that, you know, this story has a lot of political subtext to it that don't become apparent until later on in the book. And I think the decision to split the movie in two, for me, took away some of the payoffs that we're going to get later on in the movie. So story-wise, there are a lot of revelations towards the end about the different motives of the different characters. And here they kind of get to play it straight until, you know, and then the movie kind of ends abruptly. And so for me, some of the subversive elements of what the Capitol is doing to Katniss and playing around with Katniss and the people and even, you know, the different motives that President Coyne has, you don't get the chance to explore them. So for me, it's just a very frustrating experience because, you know, like any, you know, middle film in a series, you kind of want to just get straight into that last bit to kind of understand it all and assemble it all.
So I'm beyond that. I mean, I agree with you. The only reason why there is even two movies is greed, right? That's the only reason. I mean, this should have been a third movie and they should have gracefully ended it as such. But, you know, Hollywood is the way it is and they want to, you know, split. They did the Harry Potter thing. They split the book into two parts. So I haven't embraced it, but I've kind of gone past it. And even taking that into consideration, I mean, so for example, you know, The Hobbit, right? It's a very thin book and they've decided to break it up into three parts. The first one was interminable. The first one was such a slog. I really felt, you know, I don't need to see people, you know, sitting around, you know, dining table singing, you know, it just felt
25 minutes.
For 25 minutes.
Fraggle Rock is what I called it.
But I didn't get that sense from this movie. I mean, I think there's some pretty, I mean, and again, if you're comparing it with Harry Potter, the last part, you know, which was the first of the last two parts, that movie was very slowed down and it was very contemplative and it was very thoughtful. And I actually liked that part, but this Mockingjay Part 1 does not suffer from that because there's a good mix of contemplation and action. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some pretty good action scenes. Maybe it's not bang, 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 back-to-back action, but there are two or three pretty well choreographed action scenes in the movie. So it kept me reasonably enthralled.
Again, I think I agree with you. I think the pacing was good for what they did. And I think, again, you know, no doubt I enjoyed this movie. But again, the issue I had was it felt all very hormonal again. And luckily, Catching Fire didn't feel like that. In fact, I'd even forgotten that there was that smooching scene on the beach, which I was kind of remembering yesterday in the car as we were driving over. I found this one so Jennifer Lawrence is about to break down in every scene. And I know that's what she's going through and it's representative of her experience that she's had up until that point. But it was also like, oh, which one should I love, him or him?
Really?
Yeah, I was just like, please, come on.
This is what I've always, and Celie, you are the authority on this and you should comment on it. But this is what I've always liked about Katniss. And I think the reason why she's so popular is because for her, considerations of romance are always an afterthought. She's so caught up in everything else that's swirling around her. And even when it's not, she's not defined by her romance, I think, or how she's feeling. I mean, it drives her, but that's not that's not what primarily, compared to any of the crap from Twilight, for example.
Right, you know, but the whole first half of this movie is all about where's Peter, let's go get Peter. So,
but not because she wants to make couch with him.
Correct. I'll give you that. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you. It was very not sappy, but it was, she had several breakdowns, but it wasn't just because of the boys. It was because of other reasons. I don't want to, no spoilers, you know, but I think she's, if you think about it, after everything that she's been through, I mean, the Hunger Games twice, and then she's now you have to be the Mockingjay, you have to lead this rebellion. So she has to deal with that. And she's got the pressure of that on top of her shoulders. And now she's got this whole, she has to deal with Peter not being there as well. So I can imagine why she's got this emotional breakdown. So I don't think she's, yeah, of course she's got these feelings for him, and she's not even sure that she loves him, because that's something that she was talking about in one of the scenes. It's very difficult. It wasn't just love that she was going on about. I think it was everything, you know.
And I'm with you, Celia, on that. I think Rashmi's being a bit harsh.
We all have our breaking points, you know. I mean, how would you feel if everyone was like, you have to fight for your death and then lead a rebellion, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. It's a good point. She does. She has a heavy burden.
Just, can we talk about performances quickly? I mean, I think one of the things that Lawrence does with this character, in my mind, is she always gets it absolutely right. She has this wonderful, in my mind at least, way of translating a lot of what is in Katniss's head into something that we can see, either physically or facially. I think she's just so remarkable. I mean, this is an actress that I think I have so much respect for. When you look at the diversity of work that she's put out in the last couple of years, and to see her come back as this Katniss character after we've seen her do things like American Hustle and what was the one last year, Silver Linings, and Silver Linings Playbook, it's remarkable.
Yeah, she's really good. I mean, everyone brings it. Everyone in this movie brings it. I had a little bit of trouble with Julianne Moore, because I don't know why they insisted on making her hair gray and giving her gray contact lenses, blue contact lenses. It was so strange to me. And then it just felt like she was always sort of this, hi, everybody, please calm down. It was a very weird performance for me, when Julianne Moore is such an amazing actress.
How was President Coyne in your head in the books, though? Because she nailed it for me.
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't think I imagined her, but I just didn't imagine her as a strange Julianne Moore.
I think she was right, because she kind of conveyed a sense of somebody who's authoritative, but who's still wearing a mask. Right, you don't really know what's in her head and what her motives are, but she's somebody that people follow, and she's somebody that easily commands that respect. And so I think, I mean, I think the world of Julianne Moore. I think one of the biggest travesties in all of cinema is that the likes of, you know, Nicole Kidman have an Oscar, and, you know, Julianne Moore has been working for more than 2 decades and still has gone unrewarded. But I'll get off my soapbox. But I think visually she looked funny. She did. I mean, it was odd, but I don't know, kind of she reminded me of Jodie Foster.
Yes.
And Kate Winslet and Divergent and so forth. But it's in that vein. But I think she conveyed the duality pretty well. Celie, what do you think?
Well, I just remember that's how the character was portrayed in the book. It's just, I remember Suzanne Collins spent not a very long time, but just was very specific in making Coyne have this gray hair and this very sharp demeanor, you know, to have this authoritative look. And I think it was odd, because you know, in your head you're thinking, this is Julianne Moore, she's got this striking red hair and she's gorgeous and she's this really talented actress, and here she is now looking so sharp and but plain with this gray hair. But I thought she took the role on very well, and she was able to go from Julianne Moore to Alma Coyne very well, and I thought she did a very good job as this leader. And like I said, she went from this leader who was, she like made a transition from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie very well. Mm-hmm. And you could see the transition she made from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie. And I thought that was really nice to see the transition that she had made in the movie. I thought she did a good job with her acting through that.
Yeah. Were there any others that stood out to you, Joe, seeing as you brought up performances?
No, I mean, for me, it was all about Lawrence and Coyne. I think the male leads didn't have much to do. I didn't like Peter in this movie. I think physically, obviously the character is dealing with a lot. He's being held by the Capitol, and we're not quite sure what's going on there until much later on in the movie. He didn't have very much to do, but I didn't necessarily buy a lot of what he had to sell either. But again, that fits very nicely with the role that he had to play in this plot. So, you know, Gail, I've never been a big fan of Liam Hemsworth in this particular role. And, you know, he doesn't resonate much for me. I don't think he's doing a bad job. I just don't feel like he has a lot to work with.
I mean, this is Katniss's show. Everybody else is just there for the ride, I think. And what I like about Jennifer Lawrence is, I think maybe she doesn't even realize it, but she always brings this sense of authenticity. And I think the only piece that did not work well for me is there's this whole part in the middle about them trying to make a promotional video to kind of help the rebels, you know. And that whole piece, I think the only reason why it does not come off looking just god-awful is because, you know, she kind of grounds it. Because I think that it doesn't belong, I think, in the story. It's just, I don't know, it's weird, you know, about how she does it initially and her heart's not on it. And then they, anyway, I don't want to give anything away. But I think, again, I think you need to give Jennifer Lawrence credit for making that little piece work, because otherwise it would have been pretty clunky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm just at a point now where I just feel really, really sad every time I see Philip Seymour Hoffman on the screen. I mean, I was just very sad seeing him, to realize that we're never going to see him on the screen anymore.
Yeah.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the other standout performance for me, and I think, Joe, you said this yesterday on the way to the cinema, Donald Sutherland. I mean, he isn't excellent choice for President Snow. I mean, he's just so evil. It's one of the best bad guys ever.
Celia, I saw you nod
yes.
When you were talking about Gail and when you were talking about Peter.
Well, were you nodding or blushing? I know, it's who's the one you have a crush on?
Josh Hutcherson.
Peter, yeah. I am a
Team Peter.
Fan. Yep. I have this little expression that I say with my friends. I say, Gail's a filthy homewrecker. So, I've never liked Gail for...
Liam Hemsworth?
Both.
Oh.
I've never liked Gail, the character, because I've always felt he was very whiny. And he had a couple of whiny lines in the movie. I've noticed that there was one scene between him and Katniss in her old family home, and he was a bit whiny there. And I was like, oh, he needs to get over himself. And because I was just like, he can say no right. He's always going to be wrong in my eyes. And then the actor, I just think he's a bit full of himself, you know. I think he's one of those people who's very aware of how handsome he is, because I may prefer Josh Hutcherson, but I'm very aware of how handsome he is. But I think he's very self-aware of how handsome he is. And
People say that about me too.
of course. but I can see that through his acting, you know. He holds himself on this very high horse and...
Mm.
I can see an air of arrogance, and I think the fact that he dated Miley Cyrus makes him make bad choices, I think. So I hold that against him.
Here's the
choice, right? Are you gonna go for a man who can hunt or one who bakes you bread? It's gonna be the baker every time for me.
Yeah. Because he's gonna bake you a little heart. Loaves, I
absolutely.
Think.
Okay, Joe, bring us back on track.
I know, yeah.
I'm so happy to have female company on a podcast for once. Okay, last few points then. So, The other thing I was, there were two things that really impressed me. One was attention to detail. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Effie's makeup was amazing. It was almost as if they'd faded the makeup that she used to have in the Capitol. Almost like her old lipstick, because she used to have that weird lipstick mark in the middle of her lips. They'd almost made that like a stain that had rubbed off. I thought that was a really nice touch. And then I also liked the Avox cameraman. Mm-hmm. And the fact that their helmets were like the cameras in a way. So little things like that, good attention to detail. And the other thing that really impressed me was the score. I love the score of this movie. Really big, really made this feel like an epic movie.
I like the visuals in the movie a lot. I mean, I think there's a great, again, these are all spoilers, but there's a little action piece when Katniss goes to District 8 to see a hospital, and then things play out, and there's a great scene where something falls on her, and I think
yes,
that little piece is done very well. And then there's another piece in District 13 around the evacuation,
yes,
and you can see people kind of go around as they're being evacuated, and visually that's shot beautifully in these triangular formations. Mm-hmm. And you know, the movie does not have any business being that that's smart about it, but I'm glad that somebody had a good visual sense when they were doing it. Also, most of the choreography through all of the action is very easy to understand. It's not random things blowing up, which is always my pet peeve. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the movie's pretty deftly handled from that perspective.
The production design in this series has always impressed me. What strikes me about these movies is just how much they look like my vision of the books when I was reading them. You know, the whole District 13 pretty much matches, you know, blow for blow, my imagination of how District 13 looked. The whole underground setup, the whole, that scene in District 8, it was just like I had imagined it. So, you know, props to people for taking Suzanne Collins' words and translating them to something that we can see, because they've really done a really excellent job of that. You know, other technical categories. I mean, costumes we never really talk about, but I think again they've nailed it here. You know, the Mockingjay outfit that Lawrence has, you know, is again, it's very battle like, but it's absolutely fitting for the role that she has here. So I just love the way that this movie looks.
Yeah, and did you notice that on some of the soldiers they had these backpacks that were almost made them look insect like at the back? Mm-hmm. Almost like an exterior, mm-hmm. like an exoskeleton. It was quite interesting.
I mean, I wrote down in my notes, it was very curious that all the Capitol soldiers kind of looked like the Star Wars clones.
Yeah.
You know, they had that same white...
Stormtroopers.
You know, stormtroopers. Yeah. Anytime you dress up soldiers in white, they're going to be compared to stormtroopers. Okay, anything else, or should we wrap this one up? Okay, we'll wrap this one up. So, Yazdi, why don't you go first?
Yeah, at the risk of repeating myself, I think this is a filmmaker, you know, this is a pretty deft, I think, adaptation of the material. This is a filmmaker who has good control over the material. At no point does it seem like the book is running the movie. It seemed to me like the movie was running the book. It's just a good time at the cinemas. It was far better than I expected, 7 out of 10.
Joe.
Yeah, I enjoyed this installment very much. I mean, I still feel, you know, I should probably shut up about it, but it did feel like the setup for the finale, which is fine because we all knew that going in. And, you know, it's just always a little dissatisfying to me when a lot of the story arcs in the book can't be fully realized because of the decision to split it into two. But that said, you know, it's 2 hours length and 2 hours well spent. I mean, it really didn't feel like it dragged at all. Lots of great elements in here. It's really one for people who are fans of the franchise. I think it's very much a review-proof movie, because I think those people who want to see it are going to go see it. If you haven't seen the first two, you don't have much interest in here. So, you know, it'll do well regardless. But I enjoyed it a lot. It's going to get an 8 out of 10. It didn't quite live up to Catching Fire's high point, but that was also the case with the books.
Seeley.
I'm going to say that, I very thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought that it was a good adaptation of the book, and I thought that it did a very good job of developing the characters and showing like their journey into developing Katniss as the Mockingjay and mm-hmm. showing her becoming that and getting to that point of going from Katniss to becoming this leader of a rebellion and the other characters as well. And I thought it did a good job. There were a couple of action scenes that I thought were really impressive. There was mm-hmm. like one that was a kind of like Black Ops scene that I thought was really cool and that was really interesting for me. So I guess I would give it an 8 out of 10.
Ah, interesting. So for me, I don't think this gives us anything new, but what it does really, really well, and it's certainly very enjoyable. I'm very excited about part two. Not as great as Catching Fire, Joe, I'm with you, but it's very good. I would say solid 7 out of 10.
2 7s and 2 8s.
Yeah, I'm glad that, you know, I personally think Catching Fire is a better movie than Hunger Games. But again, that might just be because the book is better. And I'm glad that they brought back the same director to do, you know, Mockingjay Part 1, and he's going to be doing Mockingjay Part 2 as well.
Francis Lawrence.
Yeah, Francis Lawrence. So I'm
no,
glad.
No relation.
No relation to Jennifer Lawrence. Right.
But yeah, no, he's done a really good job of catching, you know, the entire feel of the books and the series. I mean, I think Suzanne Collins has a lot to be credited for here as well, because she had a big hand in adapting the books to screen. So, you know, in terms of being judicious about which elements to include and which ones to drop and the important themes behind the things, I think the screenplays really do a good job of capturing the world of the books. And the thing that's always impressed me about the adaptations here is that so much of the books reside in Katniss's head. You know, they're written in that, you know, yeah, they're just written in that manner where, you know, Katniss is really describing her world to us, and we're, you know, living with her thoughts. So, you know, without that ability on celluloid to do that without lots of narration, they've done a really good job of capturing that same story. Okay, well, mail at movieworldlaws.com. We always love to get your mail. And Celie, are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am.
Have you liked Movie Wallows?
I will do that tonight.
That's what I want to hear. So facebook.com/MovieWallows. Join our growing community of Movie Wallows fans on Facebook. We would love to. We love to get your comments. We interact with you as well, as much as we can. Don't forget about Wrangle, rangl.com. We've partnered with Wrangle, the good folks over at wrangle.com. So we'll talk about that in our next podcast, because there's a couple of live wrangles going on right now. We'll definitely talk about that next time around. But in the meantime, head over to rangl.com. We thank them for their support of Movie Wallows.
Yeah, come and debate.
And
maybe you didn't like catching. Maybe you didn't like Hunger Games. Maybe you don't know what it is.
Is there anybody that doesn't know what Hunger Games is at this point on the planet? Like
your mom?
Yeah, probably my mom. Yeah, I'll give her that. I'll give you that. But, all right. Until our next episode. Thank you, by the way, Celie, for joining us.
Thank you, Celie.
Really great to get that additional perspective.
Thank you for having me.
Come back again anytime.
Yes, of course.
So until our next episode, it's Too Many Movies, Too Little Time. Good night from me.
And me.
And me.
Oh, and me.
Yay.